Well, that was indeed beautiful. The praise team, Rachel, you did a super job too. We really appreciate that. And all the music this morning is always appreciated by Paul and the praise team and the music ministry that goes on here. As a wildlife biologist, I got started out by taking a little sip of water because I need to get rid of that little ribbit down there, that frog that wants to kind of keep saying something. So bear with me a moment. My family always says that, well, you got a horse voice anyway that you cut the pie, so you just have to live with it. But that little swig of water, and that was water, incidentally, that I just swigged there, a few ice cubes in there. It's kind of interesting. About 2 months ago, Pastor Scott, you know, said he was going to be gone to Florida this last couple of weeks. And so he asked Chris and I if we'd be willing to give a message, and we both shook our head yes, that we would. And I know I missed Chris's message, and I'm regret that I did, but I had some other activities that wouldn't let me come here. So it makes me feel a little bit easier because Chris is a very hard act to follow. So now that I don't know exactly what he had to deliver, I may be able to do this a little bit easier. So I thought for a moment, you know, what should I talk about? Here we are right before Christmas. I thought about the Star of Bethlehem. I've always been intrigued by the Star of Bethlehem and how that has all unfolded. And so that was kind of first and foremost on my mind. And then I thought, well, we're real close to Christmas. I imagine I could give that Star of Bethlehem message at a different time. You know, it wouldn't have to be right at Christmas time because, you know, it has to do with just a lot of things above and beyond. So I thought, well, the true meaning of Christmas, what better message to give? Here we are 9 or so days before Christmas, and we talk about the true meaning of Christmas. And I'd have to say that I was feeling really good about it. And then we had a nice, interesting discussion in Bible study once, just recently, and some other discussion. I thought, gosh, am I on the right track here? I certainly hope so. So I thought, well, there's only one way I can find out if I'm on the right track, and I asked the good Lord to help me out here. So I prayed about it a little bit, and I started drafting, and I drafted the first one, the second one, the third one. Just didn't seem like quite exactly what I wanted, so I thought I better pray a little bit harder. And it seemed to finally, I'm hoping that it comes through, and I hope that I can deliver the appropriate message here this morning about the true meaning of Christmas. One has to love this time of year. Yards and homes are lit up with multicolored blinking lights. Lighted snowmen, lighted reindeer, Santa Clauses, and yeah, there's even bears, moose, and swans lit up on the Clear Lake landscape. Christmas trees are adorned with ornaments that are colorful and beautiful, just like in the sanctuary here in the church. People are bustling around. They're singing carols. Some of the beautiful songs of the world are the Christmas carols. They're shopping for gifts for family and friends, using plastic money, sometimes just a little more than they should. Perhaps people are also dreaming of that old-fashioned white Christmas that Bing Crosby used to sing for us, and of the joyous family gatherings with eggnog and a ton of food to eat. Children are enjoying Christmas candy, and on occasion, probably getting a little bit more wound up on sugar than they should, or that we would like them to. Clear Lake has a wonderfully happy, festive celebration called Christmas by the Lake, culminating a spectacular display of fireworks over the lake, which I thought this year were really beautiful with the fog, with the flag right there. It sent a little chill up of my spine. It was just absolutely beautiful, I thought. And yet of all these things, they are the furthest of what the true meaning of Christmas and what Christians celebrate Christmas or should be celebrating is all about. Now, Tracy, somehow or other, she at the right time, she found this tie. And it says, celebrate Jesus. Well, that right there could be my message alone, but we're going to expand on that a little bit further. And I appreciate Tracy kind of getting me, maybe helping me out in the frame of mind that I needed to be to put the message together here. Going back to the lighted yard scene, I mentioned earlier, I used to see many, many lighted nativity scenes. But in the past several years, I see fewer and fewer of these. And I know it's symbolic, and it probably, you know, isn't the real heart. I know it isn't the real heart of Christmas, of course, of what Christmas is all about. But I worry the fact that subliminally, I like those sort of things. They're important to me. Nativity scenes can indeed, I think, send a message in your mind that indeed, that is what Christmas and Jesus is all about. So I do miss those. And fewer of these continued to show up and remind me less and less. I counted perhaps 5 in Clear Lake. And I'm sure I missed some. In my travels here this past weekend, I counted a few more down in St. Joe, Missouri, but it's a much bigger town. But for as big as it is, still, it seemed like the true meaning of Christmas was really not present out there. And again, I love the decorations, I love the festivities and things associated with that. But we also need to carry that the most important step further. One of my favorite things as I look through the books of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, is Isaiah, the first prophet and probably the greatest of the prophets. In chapter 9, verse 6, he states, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." That seems like a pretty big burden, but we know that God and Jesus can handle it. These will be his royal titles, and you got to love these. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Think about all those titles and how totally awesome Jesus is. He is truly the King of Kings. This verse is one of the most powerful statements regarding the celebration, at least in my estimation, of what the true meaning of Christmas and the deity of Jesus is all about. Isaiah is considered the Messiah prophet, not only predicting the birth of Jesus and what will happen during his reign here on earth, but he also predicted and prophesied his second coming. In the book of John, chapter 3, 16 and 17, I think that really cuts to the quick of what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. And that is Christmas is love. God's love for the world, it states this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his one and only begotten Son, "that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but find and have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The true meaning of Christmas in this spectacular act of love occurs when he sent his Son here on earth with us, and then more so, he died on the cross, was resurrected, and he died for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we too might be able to find that great love and life everlasting. I believe Christmas and the way he was born also should teach us about humility and humbleness. I mean, think about that. Born in a manger, you know, some people say, well, it was sort of an outcropping, a cave-like thing. But born in a manger out there, there's no room at the inn. So he was born there in a very humble setting. And I think that should demonstrate to us that we too should be humble and be willing to give a lot to others less fortunate than us. And you can certainly see of what happened this weekend, how that could be so, so true in this world in which we live. Christ did not come to us by way of pomp, by way of luxury or circumstance, not by the way that one might expect the King of Kings to arrive. But he was born unto the Virgin Mary, and with no room at the inn, he was born in a humble setting of a manger in a stable. During Christmas, Jesus wants us to be humble, to share our many blessings, and heaven knows we are very fortunate to have very, very many, to those that are less fortunate than we are. The true and real story of the Christmas story of God's becoming human in the person of Jesus Christ. Why would God do such a thing? Why? Because of his everlasting, his undying love for every one of us. So why was Christmas necessary? Because as the book of Isaiah would dictate to us, because you all know in many cases, the world then, if you read the book, and now, you know, seems to be kind of going to heck in a handbasket. There seems to be a lot of difficulties out there. The Son came to earth. He helped us out a little bit while he was here, but more so when he gave his life for the forgiveness of our many sins and allowed us through him, if we accept him into our hearts, to find life everlasting. The everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, was born to us. The country at that time, as I mentioned earlier, was in a time of darkness and despair. And the light of a world would occur, the forgiveness of sins by Jesus, and the opportunity for life everlasting. John 14:6 best states this by Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Did you ever look around the world in which we live and ask yourself, you know, why? Why does God love us so much? I think we have to ask ourselves a little bit more, you know, why, when we realize what happened this past week or realize what happened this past year. I was hearing on the radio or TV this morning that 88 folks have lost their lives through circumstances similar to what happened just this past couple of days. So you have to really wonder, you know, how could God, how could that happen? Because of his love, John in chapter 4 through 8 states, or excuse me, chapter 4 states that God is love, so that we should celebrate Christmas each year out of gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done for us. We remember his birth by giving gifts to others, worshiping him, and being especially conscious of the poor and less fortunate. You may not be aware of this, but there are actually some ultra-conservative Christians that will not celebrate Christmas because they believe in the argument that some of the Christmas traditions surrounding the holiday, as we so often think that we have to be politically correct, or at least, you know, the people in higher authorities think we have to be politically correct, to say happy holiday, we need to be saying happy Christmas. It is not happy holiday, it is happy Christmas. But anyway, in those early origins of the holiday, bells and candles, holly, yuletide decorations are mentioned in the history of paganism. While there could be paganistic roots to some of these traditions, there are many more traditions associated with the true meaning of Christmas. Silver bells ring out to spread the joyous news of Christ's birth. Candles are lit to remind us of the fact that Christ is the light of the world. Reading again from John chapter 1, 4 through 9. External life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Think about this. The darkness can never extinguish the light of Jesus. God sent John the Baptist to witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the true light. John himself was not the light. He was only the witness to identify it. You and I can be witnesses and identify that light so that others can find the light of our Father in heaven. Later on, the one who was the true light arrived to shine on everyone coming into the world. On everyone. What a magnificent task that was. And what a loving God that is, that he would do that for us. A star is placed on the top of the Christmas tree to remember the star of Bethlehem, and gifts to remind us of the gift that the Magi, the wise men, bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus, who himself is the greatest gift to humankind. Some Christians say that since the world celebrates Christmas, although it is becoming more and more politically correct to say happy holidays, Christians should avoid Christmas. I think somewhat different in that because there is a happy, festive occasion, and I think God would want us to be that way. But he also wants us to share the love that he has given to us with others and to help bring them to come to know the true Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the real reason, the real joy, for the reason for the season. Jesus is that reason for the season, and let us not forget that. I truly do enjoy seeing Christmas lights adorned with ornaments, hearing those silver bells, seeing all kinds of lighted yard decorations. I truly do miss, however, not seeing the many lighted nativity scenes, subliminally and symbolic that they were. I miss seeing them out there on the landscape. I like to encourage family gatherings to celebrate Christmas. And there's one tradition that occurs in many homes, and that is the reading of the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, oftentimes by the patriarch of the family, the reading of that book in Luke, around with the children surrounded around on Christmas Eve. I believe the Christmas Eve candlelight service, and if some of you have not been to a candlelight service in this church, please consider doing that on Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock Christmas Eve. I think you'll go away with your hearts warm and filled with joy. I know that when they sing Silent Night, it sends a real thrill up me. It brings tears to my eyes often because I think about family members that have passed before me. I think about Christ. He went to the cross. He died for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And you really wonder sometimes, gosh, you know, I have really been a sinful person, and yet he died for us, and I can find him if I proclaim Jesus as my Lord and Savior, which I have done. That, I believe, is the true meaning of Christmas. Yes, God's love is that, the meaning, the true meaning of Christmas. God loved his people and provided a way, the only way, for us to spend eternity and life everlasting with him. He gave his only begotten son. I had to look up the word begotten a little bit, just some kind of further know what that means. But it's one of a kind, and obviously he is one of a kind. He did not have any sin whatsoever. He spread his love, undying love, to all of us, and he died for the forgiveness of our sins. He paid the price, and he paid it in full. We are free from condemnation and have the free gift of love of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Romans 5:8 we read, "But God demonstrated his own love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." I can't help but think that these words from the verses of the Christmas hymn, which was sang earlier today by the praise team and Paul, "Hark the herald angels sing," really tells a story. And I'm going to read one of the verses that was sung. And I really think there's one line in there that really hits the nail on the head as far as the true meaning of Christmas is concerned. "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no longer may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth." I think that in itself really tells the story. He was born at Christmas time. Yeah, we don't know exactly when that was, but we know it was in the vicinity of where we are right now, some 2,000 or so years ago. He was born at Christmas time. He had a short reign here on earth, and then he died for our sins, went to heaven, providing us with a way to get to heaven as well, providing us with the opportunity of everlasting life. So in my process of reading through the Bible, which I think is the most important, I also thought I'd better check Webster's Dictionary just to kind of see what says in there about the definition of Christmas. And he say it is a way to celebrate Christ's birth. I think that is true, but I think we need to elaborate on the love that Christ had for us. I believe that for many Christians, it is the day to celebrate God's undying love for humankind. If indeed, he was born to give us second birth, celebrating God's love for us when he sent his son to earth, paying the ultimate price on the cross, forgiving us for our sins, and providing a pathway to life everlasting. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Wrapping up this message here today, I once again go back to the prophetic words of Isaiah. And I think they're exciting, really neat. To think back there, and that time is somewhere in the vicinity of 800, 850 BC. "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be placed on his shoulders." The many titles that he had, wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He came to us, he was God in the image of man, the everlasting Father, true in life, and true in his words and love here on earth. Well, let's see, I might have one too many pages. I'll find it here. Bear with me a moment. Things were going so smooth. But that happens. I don't know how many times over the years that I've given various presentations. Well, I might find it. I may not. I think what I'll do is I'll use my own words here to sort of wrap it up. And that might even be better. I think oftentimes spontaneousism, as long as it's in a good form and fashion, as long as it speaks to the Word of God, the Bible, and the Word of Christ, I think that's not all that bad a situation. And I do indeed think that his great love, his undying love, you can make that synonymous with the words Christmas. I do indeed believe that people are actually falling away from that. When you think about the unchurched in the community, the unchurched in the world, they really don't know what they're missing out on. And we need to make every effort possible to bring them into the Word, to help them realize that if they do indeed accept Christ into their hearts, they can find life everlasting. Accept Christ as their Savior. And I don't want to over-mention, you know, the recent incident, because I'm just totally sick about it. I can only imagine if I was a family member of someone who lost his life in that way. I think we've got to get out there. We've got to show these people that seem to be totally lost, that indeed there is hope. There's no reason to be in despair. I think about the family. I was going to remember which family it was. I think Heather was the young girl at Waterloo. Right now, you know, 5 months, she was missing with her cousin. And then here right before Christmas, you know, they get some closure. There's a lot of closing left to do there. But you just have to shake your head and say, God, what can I do? What can I do to make the world a little bit better? And God, please help me to do so. And God, may this Christmas emanate into the lives of those here in the sanctuary, of those in the community, bring more and more people to come to know and understand that indeed your love, and you were born to give a second birth, is the true meaning of Christmas. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us, dear God, to come to know more and more the strength, the power of your love, that indeed you are wonderful, that you are the mighty God. You are the Prince of Peace. And Father, help us to go out into the community and find those folks that are missing one of the most important things in their lives, and that is you and thy Son as their Savior. Father, there is so much for us to do, so many things for us to pursue, to bring others to come to know the joy, the happiness of Christian living and Christian giving. And Father, we ask that you be with those that have very heavy burdens on their heart and somehow help them to come to know some sort of closure, some sort of comfort, some sort of the fact that you are there with them, that you are in their hearts, and that things can get at least somewhat better with your presence. Father, we ask that you be with those that are not able to be with us this morning, that you make their presence known in their life, and that they too can see the joy and happiness of Christmas. We ask all these things in thy Son's name. Amen. Nation, but opportunity for those folks that want to accept Christ into their heart to come forward if they are so inclined to do so. Or if you have a heavy burden on your heart and you want to come up and pray on the altar, someone will come up to pray with you. So that opportunity is there, and we certainly offer that should anyone be interested. And if not, let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are indeed so thankful that you sent thy Son, Jesus Christ, here to earth. and giving us then by him going to the cross, he asked for the forgiveness of our sins, and that opportunity occurred. And Father, help us. Help us to understand the craziness that seems to be going on out there in the world. Help us to somehow be a part of the solution that indeed you, your Son, in the hearts of people can make the world a better place to live. And Father, we ask that you guide and direct us this coming week. Help us to do all the things that we should in spreading the good news of the birth of Jesus to others. We ask these things in thy risen Savior's name. Amen.